when I was young.
You're still young.
I don't talk from myself, but tonight I am going to a little bit. So long ago when I was young, I was a fat boy, and my mother was a bourgeois lady, and they felt that I should do some sports, and first they wanted me to play tennis. I was 140 kilos and meter 80 tall and big. I was an only child, so I was very nice. I obeyed. So they bought me a Schlesinger racket and dressed me up, you know, in the fashionable tennis outfit of the day. And there was a very, very fancy club on the Harbiye Street, you know, near where Hilton is today. It was called, I don't remember what. Actually, it was the Horseman's something club or something. So I went there, and there was a Russian instructor. I suffered a great deal from the hands of Russian instructors in physical education. And so, okay, he tried to teach me how to hit the ball. So he would sit there and throw me the ball, and I was supposed to hit the ball. And I hit the wall, and the ball went, to next town. No, and he was very, he said, no, you know, you're supposed to just hit the ball to, so again, he sort of hit the ball, and again it goes, and so he gave up at the end. And so, broken-hearted, I went home and I told him that I wasn't very good as a tennis player. My father knew the head of the Wrestling Federation, and so he talked to the Vehbi Bey, and so they put me in the club very close to our dergah in Istanbul today, in Fatih Güreş Prabhu. Anyhow, then I started wrestling, and I quite excelled. And in a year or so, in the tram cars, there was an announcement with two photographs in oval, I remember, on each side, of two wrestlers. One of it was me, and the other one was the Olympic third champion of the world, Çoban Mehmet, at the Berlin Olympics, at the time of Hitler. he was a legendary wrestler, huge guy. So his name is Çoban Mehmet. Çoban means shepherd. But he was actually a shepherd. So at those days, of course, all the wrestlers were, you know, either sort of blue-collar workers or kapıcı, how would you say kapıcı, doorman, you know, or mostly hamals. You know what the hamal is?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Hamal, mostly hamals.
Yeah.
I mean, in, but our entrepreneur was Pelinen, who was Finnish, from Finland. So in the tram car there is this announcement that Tosun Bayrak Daroğlu is going to wrestle with Çoban Mehmet in the Ne tepe? where the American embassy is, how is it called, this district? Anyhow.
Gymnasium.
So I am with my mother, a mountain of a man, and she's a little woman. Of course, I didn't even see it, and she looked at it, and she crunched. She sort of went like that. I said, "Mother, what is that? Anything wrong with you?" And she said, "Fook." I said, "Oh, so, but you know, I told you about it." Yeah, I mean, it's not in the tram car. It's announced all over the place. No, she was terribly ashamed. But on the day of the wrestling, Choban Mehmet brought me to bridge. You know what is bridge? Sort of, you go on your neck so that your shoulders don't fall on them. There is this huge guy on me, and you know, all of a sudden in this position, there is a scream in the audience. All the Mubarak, leave my son, and the Choban, and I turned On this occasion, mother was very unhappy about my wrestling career, and she said that Allah has created you to be a hamal. To be a, you don't know what hamal is, that's how should we describe them. There are those people, there used to be at least in Islam, they used to carry, I mean, hundreds of kilos of about like 4 or 5 times their size on their back, you know? Heavy, heavy load. And she appears to be right. That Allah has created me to be a hamal. And indeed, in my long life, that Allah has blessed me to carry the loads of many people and their troubles and their problems. But now, instead of being a hamal, I became a load. Now I am 250 pounds of dead weight on people's back. And that is not a good feeling. And somehow, as a gift of Eid, I was reminded of this transformation in my life from being a carrier of load into being a load. There are hadiths over hadiths, both hadith Qudsi and hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about the rewards which Allah Ta'ala bestows upon people who help people in need. As you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an orphan, and you know how many ayats and how many hadiths there are about helping the orphans, helping the poor, helping the people who are traveling, helping who are people in need. I never thought really about the rewards when I was a hamal. But now that I have become a load, you know, I am hoping that the people on whose backs I am although I am actually a bag of sin, but may the ones who carry me on their backs, may Allah Ta'ala reward them. And I never wanted really to be a lord. One thing which I feared most in my life is to be a lord on people. And I confess today that I had for the first time in my life a dead wish. Wish of death, which I know is a sin in our religion. This Eid, in my mind, is really a celebration of sacrifice. Of sacrifice of that which is most dear to you. Like Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was dearer to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam more than his own life. But talking about death wish, with the exception of the Shaheed, death of oneself is not a sacrifice. There is the saying of dying before dying, and many of us are in awe in understanding what it means. But it is an extremely important formula to advance spiritually. It is said a Muslim in true submission should be in the hand of Allah Ta'ala like a dead body is in the hand of the washers. So when we die and when people will wash us, they will lift our hands and wash. They will turn us to the right and wash, and turn to the left and wash. In the hand of the washers, the corpse has no will whatsoever. So while we are alive, while we still have the power of lifting our hands, standing up or sitting down and turning right and turning left, and wanting to do this and that and the other, a step towards being like a dead body in the hand of the washers simply means that all the signs of being alive, eating, drinking, sleeping, walking, wanting, wanting more and more. If they cannot be all abolished, at least they have to be reduced just to the extent to keep alive. So as far as eating is concerned, instead of there's many of us who like to eat like I used to, so many people live to eat. Many people live to succeed. Many people live to become greater, or at least hoping to be considered to be greater than others. It is to abandon, if not all, which is not possible, but at least to reduce all these signs of being alive. And interestingly enough, when, like this fakir, that when one is a carrier of load, that one eats and drinks and is proud of the load which one carries and wants to be recognized, you know, as a strong person. But when, alhamdulillah, you become like this fakir is now, one has really much less interest of what this world offers. So today, that was the gift of Eid al-Adha to this fakir, which I wanted to share with you. I feel that instead of complaining and being sad of being a load instead of a carrier of load, I'm quite happy with it. But then I am also very thankful first to Allah Ta'ala that He has offered me so many helpers, and then to the ones who carry me today and will probably continue carrying me till you will be carrying me on your backs to the graveyard. And I have always hoped that by that time that I will lose seriously some weight and so I will not be so heavy on your shoulders. Salaam alaikum. Is he leaving?
Yeah.
He said goodbye to you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you have some baklava to bring home?
Yes.
Yeah. You got some baklava also?
No.
Actually, I think that somebody go to the kitchen and prepare some good plate for my brother there.
Oh no, I have something already.
That's
thank
not
you so
enough.
More. Thank you.
That's not enough. You are having a hard time like me also, how to get up.
Pick them up. Pick them up.
Not easy to pick them up.
Oh. That's the way it's going to be when we have to pick you up. Good practice.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you.
Bring your daughter. Don't be shy. Come on, Usna.
What, was he an American or?
Yes.
Yeah?
Baba, you know Shariat, and this is Husna.
My goodness.
Look how big and grown up. Give him a hug. Give him a hug. She is being homeschooled.
I draw a
picture for you. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, okay. She drew a picture for you.
Yeah, uh-huh. She's drawing.
Oh, she's drawing it now.
Uh-huh.
She will give it to you later.
It's not finished.
It's not finished yet.
Okay, yeah, so you give it to me once.
How many surahs can you recite?
10 or 11.
Oh, mashallah. It's about how much I know.
You want a lollipop?
Yeah.
We're searching this.
Candy.
That's a lollipop
too. Shukran. Mm.
Thank you.
She's a very sweet young lady. It's my daughter. And that one,
nice to see you.
That Baba over there.
Yeah, I know him.
Kamal.
I remember him from 1,000 years ago.
Right. He was with Hafiz Ihsan when he passed away.
Oh.
He was in the car with him.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Yeah. And this, of course, is Hassan. Mm. And he's a madman. He's a real mazu. Yes, you could come and sit down. Go ahead. Sorry. Take care of your mother. How's your mother feeling?
Alhamdulillah.
Her mother is not feeling that well.
No.
I got a Eid Mubarak from Marifa.
Okay.
Yeah.
She asked me for your
number. Uh-huh. Very good. And one other thing, Metty is not feeling well at all. He was in bed.
Hmm.
He couldn't get up.
So he wanted me to send. This is from the group in Newark, right?
Yeah, this is the whole family, the Wadoos.
But they don't exist anymore.
No, they exist. I take care of them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's my, what was it, Hamala? What is the word?
Hamala.
Hamala, that's my home.
So but Hamala comes from Hamil.
Hamil, yeah. Which
means?
Hamal, yeah.
Hamal.
Yahmal means carry. Hamal means the one who carries.
Yeah.
Yeah, carrier.
And Hamil is the one who owns.
Hamil is the one who carried them.
Hamil is the one who carries, yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I hope I have been clear enough, so that's why I talked about myself, that to be a carrier as well as to be a load, you know, they both have their own blessings. Because you become an instrument for Hamas to have something to carry. You know, if there would be no load, there won't be any Hamas. You know? Sometimes mother objects that, you know, I ask my daughters and my sons to do this and that. For instance, today I couldn't go to get my eyeglasses, and I asked my daughter, who was already near the shop, to go and get my eyeglasses, and she did, because to me it would have been very difficult to do that. But mother sometimes objects that I ask too many things from people, but I think I am doing good by asking people to do things, but that gives them an occasion of gaining points.
We need a lot of points.
Yeah. So, what else should we talk about? Okay, we will not talk about nothing.
Bir sorusu var Arjantinli hanımın.
Evet.
Here we go. We got somebody.
First, I would like to apologize for last week. My question is was not so real. But today I would like to know more about spiritual poverty.
What? Say again.
Spiritual poverty.
Poverty. Fakir haliyle, fakir haliyle,
evet.
Ölmeden önce ölmek arasında bir ilişki var mı? Önce diyor, geçen haftaki gereksiz sorularımdan dolayı özür dilerim. Bu haftaki sorum bu diyor.
Ne diyor, özür diliyor geçen haftaki sorularımdan?
Anlamsız sorular sordum. Belki uygun olmayan sorular sormuş olabilirim geçen hafta.
First of all, there are two kinds of questions, actually three. One is to test the knowledge of the fellow who supposedly is supposed to answer questions, which backfires. Two, curiosity questions. And there is an American saying that the curiosity killed the cat. And then, three, there is really sincere questions which one cannot answer oneself and hopes that the other person will answer the question. Those are the real questions. Şimdi neydi suali?
Fakir hali ölmeden önce ölmekle alakalı mıdır? Bir ilişkisi var mıdır?
Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem, he said that I am proud of my being in need. Because fakir is poverty, but he was not certainly poor. He was a king. I mean, if he chose to sleep on a straw mat, he could have easily slept on a feather bed. If he chose to hardly eat anything, you know, except barley bread, he could have had baklava and caviar, you know, whenever he wanted to. So, if by fakir you are talking about that hadith of Rasulullah, that is beyond being in need. That is the level of becoming really, truly declaring La ilaha illallah. That is to say, there is nothing or nobody except Allah. Thus, it is a state of being nothing and nobody, and only in that state of being nothing and nobody that one can be with one's Lord, which is called the state of Fana Fillah. So the state of Fakr is much, much higher than the state of being in need, which we are talking about, let us say, to reduce one's needs of this world. So it is a much higher level. Did you understand what I said? Because I suspect not completely.
Tasdik etti.
Yani anlamadım.
Anlamış.
Hı, anladı.
Anladım dedi.
You must admit that whether a young person like Rana or an older person like her father here, we always have wishes and aspirations. We want things. Which is absolutely natural. Like even if you were a plant, that you really want to have water and fertilizer and air and this and that to be able to grow and give flowers and fruits or corn or wheat or whatever it is. So it is a, if you want to, a natural phenomena that a human being in his physical self, that he does need things. But for instance, a cat, unless, you know, it's a spoiled cat, a fat cat, or a dog, or a donkey, or a tiger, you give them a whole carcass and they eat what they need and they stop eating. Yeah? But the human being is not like that at all. Let's say we always want more than what we need. Why? Why? Well, why do we have money in the bank? How do you call it? Economies. Huh? For the future, right? That we think that we are going to live forever and ever and ever, and we need more and more things that we know perfectly well, that I cannot eat all the money which I have in the bank, possibly today. I mean, is it possible? I mean, you know, I've got, I don't know, $100,000 in the bank, and how can I possibly eat it all today or spend it all today? So it is, you see, for the future. Huh? While the plants, the animals, the minerals, all the other creation of Allah Ta'ala, you know, He sucks the food which it needs from the earth, and tomorrow, inshallah, you know, He will again suck what He needs for it. But us, you see, we need thing on the side which we may use if we live forever. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the remembrance of death is a great teacher. And supposedly us, the dervishes, we are supposed to be called the sons of the now. Sure.
Cannot know if our sins or sevaps are higher. So is there any amal that will prevent people from going to hell and can guarantee them the Jannah? And which, what is it according to the Quran?
Ne dedi?
İslamiyet'e göre İslamiyet'e göre sevabı günahlarından fazla olanlar cennete, günahı sevabından fazla olanlar cehenneme gidiyor teraziden sonra. Öyle ameller var mıdır ki cennetimizi garantilesin, öyle kötü ameller var mıdır ki bizi cehenneme sürüklesin?
That question, I think, if I remember, was asked to Hazrat Ali Keremallahu Vechuhu. Onun cevabı, and he said, make tawbah. Then somebody came and said, Ya Ali, teach me something so that it rains, because it hasn't been raining for a long time, and I'm a farmer, you know, and we're hungry. and he said, make tawbah. And somebody else came and he said that I wish to have children, I can't have children. You know, tell me what should I do to have children? He said, make tawbah. So what I know as an answer to that question is, if you wish to enter paradise, make tawbah. Because Allah Ta'ala says that if you were all sort of sinless, I would create a new people who will sin. Because if we were all sinless, our need of Allah Ta'ala would be less. Because Allah Ta'ala manifests Himself as Rahmah. We sin because we are temporal, because we are human beings, because we are animals, because we are heedless, because we have got nafs ammara. Even the best of us, we sin. But Allah Ta'ala has given us a formula, you know, of making tawbah. And He has given us, you know, all the details how to make tawbah, how to repent. Rasulullah says, he who repents is as if he has not sinned. Cevabı bu.
Anladım.
Repent. But repentance is not just words. You have to pay. I mean, if you have taken forcefully something which doesn't belong to you from your there, the repentance would not just to say, I'm sorry, you're there, you know, I stole $10,000 from you. No, that you have to pay him back his $10,000. No. Anything else? Ezan kaçta?
Ezan okundu.
Okundu.
Masrur çay getirdi. Gelelim, çayı içelim mi? Masrur'un getirdi yoksa gelelim mi?
Çelim getirsin. Madem ki getirdi. Meantime, we have time till we drink our teas, so think of things to ask. No, I remember the questions which you asked last time. It, for instance, pertained in a way to the so-called feminism. Now, feminism is a detail of injustice. it is like the injustice which is done to the poor, like the injustice to be done to the workers, the injustice to be done by the rich with the poor, by the powerful to the powerless. So it's a part of this injustice. I mean, there is no question that the women do not receive what they deserve. No question in my mind. I mean, that's one of the real injustices in the world. But it is no more or no less important than the injustices which is done to the workers of the world. No. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but my question was not in this.
Somebody who works very hard and gets paid $10 an hour, you know, is, I think, faces more injustice than the woman, for instance, when they weren't able to vote. You know, because I mean, they can still live, you know, without voting, while the guy is hungry and dying. No. So I think the question should have been of injustice instead of just the injustice to, because there are some people who also fight the injustice of the animals. You know, and but then when I'm thinking of the injustice in general, you know, so injustice to the dogs, to the women, to the workers, you know, etc., is the detail of the big injustice, you know, which human beings, in their egotism and egoism, are guilty of. Yeah. And those are very big issues. I'm talking about a hamal, a carrier of loads. If that hamal is not really strong, he cannot carry any loads. So I think that selfishness is a bad thing. But there is a good selfishness, is to try to be wise, knowledgeable, strong, healthy, and moral, yeah, to be able to help others. So if you do not possess those qualities, you yourself are in need. How can you help others? Do you understand what I mean? So I think that in one sense our first duty is to ourselves. No? That we should be in a state, we should bring ourselves in a position that we'll be strong enough and wise enough and good enough, no, to help others. Because if we are not, no, we are ourselves the Lord. Do you understand what I mean? No. So I think that is our first issue, that's our first duty. Not to be better than others, to say that I am better than you, but to be better than others so that I can help you. Yeah. Did you bring your wife and daughter with you? No, you just by yourself.
I'm probably gonna feel bad about answering this question, but how do you stop doing the same mistakes over and over again with certain things? What's the best way to stop making mistakes?
Aynı hatayı tekrar etmekten bizi alıkoyacak olan nedir? Nasıl durabiliriz? Kendimizi durdurabiliriz.
First of all, I think the reason which we repeat to do the same mistake over and over again is one, that we don't know what we are doing. I think most of us, we really do not purposefully do wrong. We do wrong because we are not heedful, we don't know what we are doing. That's one reason. So then the medicine for that is to be heedful, to know what you are doing. Yeah? And then second reason is we really don't think that it is wrong what we are doing. No. So then is to know what is right and what is wrong, right? And so if you know what you are doing, and if you know what you are doing is wrong, no, then the third reason is that I'll get away with it. I won't get caught. No. That you think that you are too wise or too strong and you're too rich and too famous and you can get away with murder, so to speak. Although you know perfectly well it's murder what you are doing, but you think you can get away with it. And then you have to really know that even if you get away with it from the punishment of men, that you have to have faith that you are going to get punished, you know, by somebody else, you know, who sees and knows everything. So I think that's your answer. But I think the answer, the first answer, the first state is the common one. That we really do the terrible things which we do is that because we really don't know what we are doing. And we could be really educated and good person and this and that, but you know, all of a sudden, not that you're not always heedless, but that comes a moment that you somehow lose control over yourself, you know, and then you do this stupidity because you really wasn't aware what you were doing. Yeah, I think that is probably 99% of the time. Because I think what is right is what is wrong is more or less known to everybody, even if you're not told so, your conscience tells you, you know, that it is not right what you are doing. And it is really very, very, very rare, and it's an extremely arrogant person who thinks he can get away with murder. So I think we would be safe if we would be, you know, more heedful, that we would do less wrong things. Meydan hazır mı acaba?
Yok.
Let's give 10 more minutes.
Şimdi kalın. Salih parmağını kaldırıyor ama evet. Bilmiyorum neden.
Parmağını belki ayıp. Hangi parmağını kaldıracağız?
Baba is asking which finger is he raising?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not the other one. Evet.
I'm smarter than that.
Because he said he lifted his finger, I don't know why, and I said, which finger, you know?
Part of the question, Baba.
Yes, Sally.
part of the question is, when you know you've done wrong, mm-hmm. and yet you cannot stop oneself from doing the wrong again and again and again, how can one stop from doing that which they know is wrong?
Well, then, again, I repeat what I said to him, you make tawbah. I mean, if you know that you have done wrong, as a duty of a believer, and that there is a God which exists, and that you are going to have a last day of judgment, and so you ask Allah to forgive you. If you do it again, that means your repentance wasn't sincere or wasn't sufficient. Because it is said that when the sign of a repentance which is accepted is that you cannot do that wrong thing again.
Yeah.
In fact, that question was asked to Effendi, I remember, and he said, well, make tawbah. And he said, well, I do it again, make tawbah again. I do it again, make tawbah again, you know.
Come, whoever you are.
But we really, I mean, you know perfectly well, we do something wrong even to each other, and we come and say, well, I'm sorry, you know, forgive me. Well, is that enough? You know, I mean, you know, you've broken somebody's heart, you know, and you say, well, I'm sorry, really? Well, I mean, you know.
bir sorudası daha var Arjantin'den gelen hanım.
Evet.
Thank you for you go back to the question last week. Absolutely what you said is true in one level, but I was meditating about the question and I was thinking my question had more focus in how the culture I have to talk to you. So I was thinking about the question, and it's not only a feminine question. Was not this idea. The question is more how you shape one culture, how the form, an art can create culture. So when I make the question, I start the question with our blog, Sheikh, reminded that when he came to West, when he bring the Sheikh, his teacher to U.S., So the question was why he was not following his Sheikh.
Who is not following who?
Reformed, not in this sense.
The reformed.
Why he's not following?
Who is not following?
I just want to repeat my question. Why he's not followed?
Why he is not followed?
Reformed.
Use a noun instead of a pronoun.
I'm not saying the essence. The essence is one, but
you
say
he is not following.
No, my question.
Who is the he?
Who's the he?
He is not following.
The Sheikh.
Sheikha.
The Sheikh.
The Sheikh.
Tosun Baba.
No, sorry.
No, my question.
Hold on a second.
Okay. My question was not in the level of the female have to be here and the male be here because it's question about gender. It's not gender that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the form that Sheikh Mustafa presented to America community in that time, in 1987, when went to the church in some So John Divine invite anyone from different tradition, different religion, coming together, different gender, coming together and make the Zika together. This is one form. So this was my question. Why did I
understand your question.
Yeah,
I understand. Muzaffer Efendi, St. John'da Divine'da zikir yaptığı zaman oradaki bütün herkesi, kadın erkek davet etti. Zikre dahil oldular. Böylece bir transformasyon başlattı. Tosun Baba bu transformasyonu neden takip etmiyor diyor.
Were you there? Was she there?
No.
Well, we were there. We were there. We made Zikrullah at one point. Efendi invited everybody to join in. And everybody joined in. So there was the halakha of the dervishes, and around them there was the public, young and old, women and men, you know, and Muslim, non-Muslim, all of them, yeah? And so they participated. So that doesn't mean that non-Muslims could be Sufis. That doesn't mean men and women and children, you know, everybody can hold hand in them, do all sorts of funny things, and it's permissible, you know? There's two different things. And he, out of the kindness of his heart, you know, he said, come and join us, you know? And so they did. And I think they had fun, and that was the end of it. But that there's no transformation or anything of the sort. There is just the kindness of Effendi, you know, who invited the public to join us. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, whoever sees this as anything other than that, I'll tell you something, a nice story. We are in Paris, mother and I. There were two journalists. I think one of them was Algerian, the other one was French. Yeah, they asked me to film, you know, in TV, to interview me. And mother, being the wiser one between two of us, and she immediately said, don't do it. And I said, why? I mean, you know, that this is, you know, they're going to ask me questions and I'm going to answer them something, and people will hear something about Islam and about Sufism. And so here I am. First question about love. You know, Muzaffer Efendi said that there should be free love. You know, in the Sufi dergahs, that we should all sort of, you know, make love with each other. What? And mother said, see? What I mean? So it's sort of a understanding things arkacından anlamak diye bir laf vardır, biliyor musun? Tercüme edilmez şimdi o. Aklını anlayınca arkacından anlamak diye bir laf vardır. Onun gibi there are some people who want to hear what they want to hear. There are also Muslims, you know, that Allah says in the Quran al-Kerim, don't make your prayers. He does. If you don't need the next line, you know, don't make your prayers, right? Don't make your prayers if you are drunk or you are sleepy or don't make your prayers. But if you don't read the next line, I can tell you, see, Allah says in the Quran, and I can recite it to you. Huh? So you just want to hear what you want to hear. So it's one of those things.
Yes.
So I have been Effendi's translator. The person who has given you this information, she doesn't speak Turkish. You know, then everybody says, oh, I have spoken with Muzaffer Effendi. Huh? How did you speak with Muzaffer Effendi? Either you spoke to Muzaffer Effendi through me, you know, or you are imagining that you talk to Muzaffer. Oh, but we talk heart to heart. But that language I don't know. You know, I am 90 years old, but you know, heart to heart, no, I don't know that. For years I have, in fact, most of the knowledge, I would say, not 100%, but a big percentage of what I am talking about now, you know, is what I have learned through translating Muzaffer Effendi. Let me see that picture. Wow.
Stay. She wants to look at it. Wow. She wants to see your face.
It's really nice. Isn't that?
Oh my goodness. Mm. Beautiful.
Yes. Let's see now, there is a gift package there. I'm going to have this gift package. Bak istediğini akıcıdan anlar, değil mi? Ya. Okay. Thank you. It's a funny thing. Okay.
No.
There is a.
Hello.
Rings. Anything.
You like it?
No, this is not. This is not, Bobby. This is not.
You're glad you like it.
Who? You're glad that he likes it, right?
You're glad you like it.
Yes. He's going to get you everything. That's honesty.
Nice one, maybe.
Yeah, we'll find some.
Oh, there we go.
You have test feet? You have fair beads?
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I have some. I have pink for it.
You have pink test feet, prettier.
Thank you.
What do you do with it?
This is the same thing.
The same thing.
You do zikr with it? Let's see you do zikr. Let's see it. Follow in the hole. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Let's see. I'll hold that.
Why? First of all, somebody with the wisdom of Muzaffer Effendi would not attempt to change anything which in 1,500 years has not changed. I mean, in Islam, one of the worst things to do is called bid'at, to try to change the tradition. While in Christianity, it's a common thing. You know, they change it all the time. In Judaism also, it's a common thing. But somehow, Islam resisted this. And people do all sorts of strange things, but that is not according to Islam. No. The Islam hasn't changed. Muslims, they do all sorts of stupid things. That's beside the point. No. But one of the strongest and the most important things not to do, you know, is to change things. And how could Muzaffar Effendi, who was really a very, very strict Muslim, you know, would attempt to change anything at all? I mean, it's really an insult to him, you know, to think that. He had the goodwill. He thought that, I'll tell you another thing. That do you see this bearded man, right? Baba, can you point out to Sheikh Muhayyadin there? Yeah, right, that man. So Sheikh Muhayyadin was a very ullah, you know, he was really a very saintly man. And when he came to this country, he didn't say he was a Muslim. He didn't say that he was teaching Islam. So he taught Islam without mentioning the name of Islam, without mentioning the name of Allah, without mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after a certain amount of years, when there are hundreds of people around him, you know, one day he declared that he was a Muslim and that they were all Muslims, the people. 250 people left. No. But the rest of them, they stayed. So, Muzaffar Effendi, we went to visit him a couple of times, and he liked him very much, and he said that he was a natural, meaning like he was from birth like that, you know, not, he didn't learn how to be a sheikh. And he said one day, maybe we should have done the same thing, he said. And I said, I'm sorry, it's too late. So I mean, he had all the goodwill, Allah rahmat alayhi, to he had hoped that he would make millions of Americans into Muslims. It doesn't work that way. In fact, how many people from his time is left? Here is one. Yeah. Where is she? Here is two.
Sadiq Baba.
And here is three. But even amongst ourselves, how many people here knows Muzaffar Effendi? One, two, three, I see, five, six.
Kiliseden sonra hiç zikir yapmadı mı Muzaffer Efendi? O son zikri miydi? Kilisedeki son zikri miydi Muzaffer Efendi?
Yok yahu.
Ondan sonra da yaptı zikir.
Tabii. Well, that zikrullah was really a fantastic one. You know, because of the space, because of the number of people who really participated, and I don't know. But
about
maybe
3,000.
There's
about 3,000.
How much?
3,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people came. But you know, people do come things like that which are free, you know, which are sort of curious. They come and see. And Effendi was very attractive and the Zikrullah was very beautiful. Yeah? Are you kidding? Many Zikrullahs after that have happened.
Right. Huh.
Yani onlarda kadın erkek var mıydı?
Yok. No. No, of course not.
The guests never penetrated the halakha.
No, of course not.
Our women were where they were supposed to be, and our men were tightly holding each other, and the people.
Actually,
the
neither the man, you know, the you know, who wasn't part of the audience.
Right.
You know, they were outside. Yeah.
Right. The guests were outside. At one point, after we had done the work of sitting in certain esmas, and we stood up and we started the who, and then we started the hi, and then the Effendi, out of love, invited everyone to join us. And you could see that if you, in the picture, you could see the white of our tenures and takyas, and then you could see the other people on the outside. It was very beautiful. It was invited to all people to come and share with us what beauty we have.
So many people, you know, who comes to us and came to Effendi and asking the question, can one be a Sufi without being a Muslim? And the answer is very clear, no. I mean, you could become a mystic in Christianity, you can go to Judaism and become a, how do you call it, a
Kabbalist.
You know,
Kabbalist.
Yeah, something.
Or Kabbalist, Jesuit.
You know, but again, you have to be a Jew to be a Kabbalist, and you have to be a Christian to be a Christian mystic. And to be a Muslim mystic, you have to be a Muslim. I mean, you know, no.
To be the Dalai Lama, you have to be a Buddhist.
Okay, hadi kalkın. Saat 10:09. Remember, I slept very well last night.
Yeah, you were right. God, believe me.